support comes from Audiology Center of Northern Colorado, providing caring and comprehensive services with a strong focus on giving back to the community. A private, independently owned practice that provides hearing services to patients of all ages, caring for you as if you're part of our own family. Learn more at audiologycenternoco.com.
Corbin versus the World was recorded in front of a live studio audience. The character of Corbin is a work of fiction and is meant to represent your hopes, dreams, and your fears, and bears no resemblance to the real Corbin, who actually hates music. This show was produced without oversight or approval from the FCC, and listening to it is probably a crime where you live. All interviews, jokes, and statements are a figment of your imagination. No one was harmed in the making of this show, except our producer Chris. This can't be what life has become. Please clap. Corbin would like to thank you for listening and encourages you to send him money, because he believes Funko Pops are the future and you have to strike while the iron is hot. He'll pay you back eventually, he swears. Anyone who takes offense to the content of this show is politely invited to send their hate mail to RFK Jr. Now sit back, pour yourself a cool beverage, and enjoy the ride.
Loudspeaker Studios.
And welcome to another edition of Corbin versus the World. I am your hero, Corbin David Albaugh, here to bring you the greatest tunes of yesterday, today, and tomorrow on this, our final week of March 2024. And we are 2 days away from baseball season officially starting. And I could not be happier. I'm excited for home runs. I'm excited for the Star Spangled Banner sung by local celebrities. I'm excited for that weird little church organ they use to play 2000s pop songs. I'm excited for underpriced hot dogs and overpriced beer. And I'm excited for suffering third degree sunburns because I forgot to bring sunscreen to a Midwestern mid-afternoon game. Don't do that. But yeah, I'm excited for all of it. And you should be excited too, not for baseball, but for yet another action-packed hour with me, your hero, with some hot takes and tunes to carry you through your day. So we're going to start off with some spicy hot takes, and then we will go into those aforementioned tunes. I want to open up this episode by doing something that I haven't done here for a while. We're going to talk about politics.
Don't want to talk about politics. Refuse to talk about politics. Don't like to talk about politics. Don't give a shit about politics.
Yeah, so that was Politics by Korn, and playing that song was half the reason why I wanted to do this bit. But we are going to introduce this segment with the Korn song from now on, because nothing says we are about to have a mature, down-to-earth conversation about hard-hitting domestic issues like Korn, specifically Twisted Transistor era Korn, which is the second best era of Korn, in my opinion. We'll talk about that at a later date. Anyway, we're going to talk about politics because there is a current push in our legislature to threaten our current social media environment. TikTok, everyone's favorite algorithm-based portal to the gates of internet hell, is threatened to be banned by actions in the government. So to clarify, it is not, as the headlines might suggest, it's not a ban of the app itself. The idea behind the bill that they're advancing right now, and it's currently passed the House, it's still pending in the Senate right now, but the aim is to force the owners of TikTok, which is a Chinese company known as ByteDance. And at first glance, I thought that they were behind Dance Dance Revolution, but they're not. But ByteDance would have to give up ownership of the app, or TikTok would be banned. I guess it is kind of a ban, but anyway, that's why I don't work in legalese. As of right now, the bill has passed the House, and it's sitting in the Senate, where, for what it's worth, Biden has already signaled that he would sign it into law in the event that it would pass. So we're kind of at a very weird, like, 50-50, is it going to happen, is it not going to happen thing. And it's an interesting issue to me, And I'm talking about it on this show because I am currently caught between two extremely powerful wolves that live inside my brain. The first wolf on the left side. My personal policy is I'm a free speech absolutist. I believe that the government does not, nor should it, have the power to regulate how a person expresses themselves. And before the algorithms start lumping me in with the Joe Rogan Experience, I will add a caveat to that. The caveat being that I also believe in natural consequences. So, for instance, if you chose to express yourself by walking into the middle of Times Square and saying something like, I don't know, fuck the Italians, and you got the shit kicked out of you by an Italian person or any other person who felt like they wanted to go bad for the Italians that day, I would say that that was a poor call on your choice. That's on you. So, I believe in freedom of speech strongly, but not freedom from consequence. So this very strong feeling on free speech is counterweighted on the right side by the other wolf of my ideals. That wolf is my general hatred of all things involving social media. In the main, I don't like social media. I don't like how fake it is. I don't like knowing whether the thing that I'm reading is real or if it's AI generated or if it's just a person who's a paid actor. I hate the weird negativity that exists on it. I'm just, in general, not a fan. And another reason I don't like it is because I'm bad at it. I'm not good at social media, and I don't like the things that I'm bad at. That's just a Corbin thing. My brain is like an old shitty gaming laptop that you only have space for, like, Age of Empires and, like, that pinball game. So, like, me personally, I had Facebook for a few years, and then I had to uninstall Facebook so I could learn how to use Instagram. And during that whole process, I didn't do Snapchat. I've been able to avoid Twitter, or the artist formerly known as Twitter, for a fairly long time. I ignored Vine the entire time Vine was a thing. And now that TikTok's a thing, I've been ignoring TikTok, despite the fact that it's a blatant conflict of interest when I'm trying to grow an audience for a podcast. And the other thing is, I'm not exactly swayed by the argument of, well, if they ban TikTok, then they could ban any other social media platform. Okay, cool. Don't threaten me with a good time. You mean we all have to go outside and learn about the world and frolic with the birds and communicate with each other in person like we did back in Oregon Trail shoot the buffalo diphtheria times? That's not a nightmare scenario for me personally, but that is how deep my convictions lie, just in case you were wondering how I really felt about it. Again, in general, circling back, I do feel like the government should not have the place to say who can say what, when, and all that fun stuff. So I have strong feelings in both directions, and I'm left in this weird ideological Lincoln and the Bardo situation while the government grapples over this very, very volatile issue, especially in a fun election year. So I am going to do a thing. I'm feeling fun and funky in the year of 2024. So we're going to do what my book on playwriting told me to do. And I am going to raise the stakes of the situation. We're going to raise the Omaha stakes of the situation 50 feet up in the air. This podcast, this episode will serve as my legal document. And I will make a commitment right here, right now. If the government does, in fact, make good on its threat and pass this extreme measure against TikTok, then I will continue living my life. But if the government does not move forward, if the bill is defeated in the Senate, or Joe Biden is visited by Jacob Marley and the ghost of MySpace, Tom from MySpace, in the middle of the night, then I, your hero, Corbin David Albaugh, will succumb to the 2020s decade, and I will actually do shit on TikTok. I don't know what I'll do. Maybe I'll knit shit. I've never knitted before. That could be pretty entertaining to watch. But that will be my medium rare Omaha steak for this edition of Talkin' Politics. Don't wanna talk about politics. Refuse to talk about politics. Don't make it talk about politics. Don't give a shit about politics. We're gonna talk about other things now. We're gonna talk about music now. It's music time. I do wanna mention just really fast, I did watch the Oscars. I did see Oppenheimer win Best Picture. Good for you, Christopher Nolan. You're still not forgiven for Tenet, but it's fine. In honor of Oppenheimer's Oscar win, our opening track will be brought to us by a group called Uranium Club. out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, the ping pong capital of the world, because, as we all know, uranium is an essential component in creating an atomic bomb. And without the atomic bomb, we wouldn't have Oppenheimer the movie. We probably wouldn't have Robert Oppenheimer the person, depending on how deep the butterfly effect went. Like, obviously, he would still exist, but he wouldn't create the infamous bomb. He'd have to use his physics talent to create something more humane, like a hotter hot pocket or a Sun Chips bag that doesn't make noise. That would have been better, but alas, uranium exists. So, therefore, nukes exist. But because nukes exist, we also get stuff like the Fallout video games and Godzilla movies. So, they can't be all bad. I'm sure I'll have plenty of people disagreeing with me on that. Anyway, I'm getting off track. Uranium Club. Specialize in this very frantic, very intellectual, very left of center version of garage punk. They're kind of like Slint. If Slint had Ween's sense of humor and like double the tempo, they put out an album earlier this year and also created this song, which I would consider to be one of the greatest earworms of the year so far. And I feel like that term gets thrown around a lot, but I do consider it an earworm in the actual parasitic sense, because this song has crawled into my head, wrapped itself around my brain, and there is not a day that goes by where I don't review it somehow. When you watch a really weird movie and the credits roll and a week goes by and you're still thinking about like that scene, shouts out Bo is Afraid, you know what I'm talking about. But this song carries that energy, not like giant dick monster in the corner energy, but you know, still goofy energy. Might not be for everybody, but this is my show and you're just guests in my White Lotus. So I am unleashing this one on you. This song is called Small Gray Man. When you get to the chorus, you're going to be like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Chateau wall, dig up diabolical poop, Las Vegas casino, safe cracking thief, surfing with terrorists down at Bondi Beach. But I'm stuck at some other one. No fancy tags in my clothes, the least known person the world's never known. Romeo takes a swallow. I want to trade sex for information.
You're small and gray. They all want to know your...
What's your name?
Peter Bergman, TV star. How I wonder who you are. Such nice clothes. Where's the tags? In the purple shopping bag. Fashion icon at the beach. Take out your trash, but be discreet. Grab a snack before you go. Drop off the mail and hit the road. Peter likes his privacy. When he's out, no photos, please. Peter Bergman, TV star, how I wonder who you are.
Greetings, Earthlings. You just got done hearing all about The Small Gray Man by the band Uranium Club. I'll shout out their album really fast before we move along. That album is called Infants Under the Bulb, and it is a fun little album. It's got songs with titles like Big Guitar Jackoff in the Sky, which is the exact instrumental freakout gangbang that you would expect it to sound like. It's got a four-part spoken word audio drama about two women who fall in love with a wall, and a wall has a human voice, and it is a physical wall, but it does talk. It's very complicated. You're just going to have to hear it, but it's a great album. We are trying to spread that wonderful positive energy on this show, and I want to spread that positive energy out. I'm going to send some positive vibes to Olivia Rodrigo right now, because I feel bad for Olivia Rodrigo, guys. Right now, I do. We should all feel bad for Olivia Rodrigo, and I feel bad for a couple reasons. I feel like when she started, she had a really cool, really novel thing going just a few years ago. Her and Billie Eilish were spearheading this whole new girl pop top 40 sound, which was absolutely necessary because we can all agree that pop music at the end of the 2010s was like an absolute World War One, Battle of the Somme level slaughterhouse, just like a disaster on all sides. If you slipped on a banana peel right after hearing Lemonade in 2016 and you spent the next 3 years in a coma, you would have missed nothing. You would have missed peak Lana Del Rey and Ariana Grande, and you would have missed Shallow, which would have been fine. Your soul would recover. But 2019, that's when Billie Eilish shows up, and you got Olivia Rodrigo right on her heels doing stuff that's new and interesting. It's new and interesting because it's not just repeating the same old EDM influence shit that they've been doing for like 15 years. It's because they're taking these older late 90s, early 2000s influences, and they're reimagining them through the eyes of a Gen Z musical theater kid. Novel concept with Billie Eilish. You've got that darker, more industrial and scary electronic influence, but with Olivia Rodrigo, it was much more that kind of alternative Riot Girl, Veruca Salt-y sound, and it was cool. It was novel. It was hip. But then time goes on. Time moves very quickly when it comes to pop music. Billie Eilish, she puts out her second album. It's fine. It's good. But she pivots to winning film awards and wearing increasingly horrible outfits. And she's done a pretty good job alley-ooping, pivoting, and all that stuff. But while this has been going on this whole time that Olivia Rodrigo is working on her next album, you have got the music industry going to the Duncan, Idaho cloning machine, and they mass produce like 50 artists who all have that Olivia Rodrigo vibe and that Olivia Rodrigo sound, which is tale as old as time when it comes to the music industry. Beatles get popular. Here's a shitload of British blues bands with bowl cuts. Van Halen gets popular. Here's a whole bunch of guys with long hair who never wear shirts. Nirvana gets popular. Here's a whole bunch of depressed guys in sweaters. Same deal with Olivia Rodrigo. She has signature sound, and now there are like 30 different, I kind of hope my hot ex-boyfriend dies, songs that are like clogging up the charts. And then SZA comes out with Kill Bill, and now we're actually killing the boyfriend. And we've hit the logical conclusion of the whole musical movement. So I feel bad for Olivia, because the second album comes out and it's still kind of that sound, and she does a great job with it. It's good, but she's not hitting the heights that she did on that first album. And I hope that she's able to bounce back a little bit, because she might be in danger being Carly Rae Jepsen and pigeonholed into a particular sound, to a particular era. That's the first reason I feel bad for Olivia Rodrigo, but I bring her up in the first place for the second reason, the more newsworthy reason, and that's the controversy she's had to deal with on her latest tour to support said second album, which is called Guts, in case you live under a rock. So I started reading all these headlines like a week ago that people were getting free contraceptives at her concerts, like stuff like condoms, Plan B pills, stuff like that. And I first read that and I was like, hell yeah, good for her. You go back 30 years in time, you have Gigi Allen shitting in his hand and hurling it into the crowd. You got the butthole surfers hucking raw meat at people. And now, you know, flash forward, we're throwing Plan B out into the crowd. That's progress. That means that we as a society are doing better. Unfortunately, my mental image of what was going on did not exactly match up with the reality. I did the dumb thing and I actually read the news stories. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, from a legal standpoint, she, being Olivia Rodrigo, was not physically hurling these items out into the crowd. She wasn't shooting packages of Plan B out with the fucking baseball t-shirt gun. No, that was not going on. They just had a booth at the show from an outside organization that was handing the stuff out for free. Cool on them. But a little bit of an issue, I guess. It's a national tour. National means you're playing in a whole bunch of different states. In the United States, and some of these states, I don't know if you guys read the news or not, but some of those states, it's actually like kind of, you know, they kind of side-eye that a little bit. So, you know, to give out Plan B for free at random shows with kids. So it's kind of been a whole thing. Long story short, you know, news broke out that she was doing it. And then, as one would expect, Olivia Rodrigo's tour recently made the decision to prohibit those items being given out at her concert, which was just all around great move on her part, because now she is in the great position of being shit on by both sides, because you have the conservatives who are upset with her because of the aforementioned Plan B thing. And then you have the, you know, you have everyone else who's upset that she's not doubling down on this idea. So, you know, I'll speak to that for just a hot second, just for funsies. And I just want to play a fun thought experiment for just like 1 second. We're going to pretend that Olivia Rodrigo continued, or rather the tour, continued giving out Plan B at shows and other things. But obviously it was the Plan B that's kind of ruffling the feathers. So they're giving that out at shows for free. That would have led to real lawsuits on behalf of real lawyers from real governments, which they would most likely win, because shitty laws are still laws. And if I move to a town where they will cut off your toe for wearing a baseball cap, I'm going to be really mad about that. But I'm also not going to wear a baseball cap. So if you have a problem with that, I have some great news. There is an election that's going on in a few months, and that issue is definitely kind of pertinent to the conversation. So you should probably do your part with all that. And that's all I'm going to say on that, because I already played the Korn song twice and we're not going to play it again. And another thing, while I'm just like on the soapbox, why is it the obligation of Olivia Rodrigo? I might lose some of you here. Why is it the obligation of Olivia Rodrigo, superstar pop singer, to hand out contraceptive care to the public? Why is that her responsibility? Now, don't get me wrong, it's a swell move in a world where everything is legal and groovy, but at least according to, you know, my interpretation of civilization, I don't know if that's necessarily the responsibility of a pop singer. Like, the responsibility of a pop singer is to put out good pop music and also a good show. Anything else is just extra credit. Contraceptive care is a universal need. I agree 100%. You know what else is? Toothpaste. I need toothpaste too, but I'm not going to get pissed off at The Weeknd for not giving out free Colgate at his shows. So anyway, moral of the story, artists should not be expected to be the tip of the spear when it comes to public policy. Vote. That's all. Anyway, that was a fun, almost politics adjacent rant. I'm going to go listen to a little bit more Guts right now. In the meantime, I've got some good stuff for you. I've decided to start theming these songs that I play in the trios. And the theme for this upcoming trio of songs is music to get sad wine drunk alone to. I know there's at least one of you that's doing this right now. It's fine. We've all been there, and I appreciate you just the same. And I am here to support you with tunes. We've got a heartfelt ballad from the band Bully, who I talked about a bit on our last show, and this is Atom Bomb.
After all this time, I'm the same, just older. My skin's too thin, I could stand to be colder. I'm ashamed, I lose myself in people, like I lost myself in you. I bite my tongue, I don't wanna give in. You're already gone, and I've been living like an atom bomb, waiting to be lit, and I don't know what's worth forgiving. Forgiven, 'cause the shade of blue can make me cry, and the thought of someone I love feeling lonely and that I never could figure out why I can't get your birthday straight. I always try. Call you up, you're moving to me. But you're taking the Atlas and you don't know why you ever left in the first place. Guess you were just bored now. You're sick of the rat race and I can't go back. Though I consider to see you smile and the snow in the winter, but nothing's the same. There's no power in Austin, a tornado in Tennessee, a heat wave in Boston. It's been changing way too often, 'cause a shade of blue could make me cry, and the thought of someone I love feeling lonely and that I never could figure out why I can't get your birthday straight. I've always tried. Just can't get the hang of it.
Feeling, and I'm so sorry I was over. all go, I'll let it all go. Let it all go, I'll let it all go. Let it all go, I'll let it all go. Let it all go, I'll let it all go.
Welcome back to Corbin versus the World. You just got done digesting some major angst, courtesy of some lovely lady groups. First in our lineup was Bully's new release, change of pace, piano ballad called Atom Bomb. For the record, it was not the intention to place this song in the same playlist as a band called Uranium Club. We are not doing an overall nuclear war theme. Otherwise, I would absolutely be playing the song Nuclear War by the Electric Six, but there's just not a way I can make that gel. I wish I was that clever, but I am not. But yeah, Bully is great. Their singer kind of sounds like Tommy Pickles from Rugrats, but I think that's part of the appeal, personally. Next up, we had Francis of Delirium, which is a great name for a nun, out of the UK with her song Let It All Go. Francis of Delirium just put out their debut album last Friday, in case you feel like doing a deeper dive and want to show them some love. And finally, we had Rosie Tucker, non-binary singer-songwriter from Los Angeles, California, telling us all my exes live in vortexes, which is one of a series of singles that they have been putting out to build us up and bum us out in preparation for an upcoming album called Utopia Now, which is really exciting news for the band Yard Act, who I played on previous show, because they put out an album earlier in the year called Where's My Utopia? So, hey, Yard Act, there you go. Ask and you shall receive. America coming in clutch to save England yet again. Some exciting news for people who are fans of musical theater and Sufjan Stevens, which, saying that out loud, I feel like there's a very high likelihood that Venn diagram looks a lot like a basketball. But in my imagination, if I was imagining the 21st century pop music landscape as like your stereotypical Degrassi high school, Taylor Swift is class president, obviously, but Beyonce is the head cheerleader. She's dating the quarterback, Jay-Z. Kanye is the weird janitor who tells you that the toilets are haunted, stuff like that. Sufjan Stevens in this high school, he's the quiet kid that sits in the back of the classroom who wears the same t-shirt and jeans combo for 4 years straight, even when it's hot outside, because Sufjan never wears shorts. He has a lunchbox with Bible verses on it, and he sits with the theater kids, but he doesn't actually say anything at lunch. But he draws the most beautiful self-portraits, and they're put on display every single year because they're just so goddamn beautiful. That's Sufjan. And to be clear, the portraits are a metaphor for his music. I'm not talking about his actual artwork, because Sufjan has some really god-awful album artwork. If you don't believe me, look at the cover for A Beginner's Mind. It's got like a cartoon Medusa with angel wings on the cover. Her boobs are out and there's like a rainbow for some reason. Like what? For or almost any of the others. Like throw a rock at Sufjan's discography and you will hit a never-ending parade of graphic design abortions. But understand, I say all these things out of love. I say it out of love for Sufjan. The man is responsible for some of the most unique and powerful music of our 21st century, and he may have gotten his flowers many times. He got the Oscar performance, but he has never gotten a full musical. But that has changed. At the end of April, there is a production in Chicago that is officially moving to Broadway. It is a show called Illinois, and it is based on Sufjan's 2005 Illinois album, and it's going to feature actors sitting around a campfire, and they're going to tell each other stories that are obviously the Illinois songs, and they will have dancers and, you know, fun lighting and stuff that's portraying the songs. But that is something that is very exciting. And Illinois, in case you guys are not familiar with Sufjan Stevens, Illinois came out, like I said, in 2005, which was a fun phase of Sufjan's career where he was like, I'm going to record an album for every single state in the United States. And we were all like, hell yeah, Sufjan, that sounds like a great idea. And he got as far as Michigan and Illinois, and he was like, fuck this. I changed my mind. I'm going to do other things now. And if that is not the most relatable thing an artist has ever done to me personally, then I don't know what is. But I digress. Broadway musical now based on the Illinois album. And I am going to give some preemptive flowers. And this might be a deep cut to those of you who are not familiar with the album. But those of you who have will be aware of the song John Wayne Gacy Jr., which features on the Illinois album. Sufjan just decided to write a 4-minute ballad about John Wayne Gacy, the serial killer. And it is one of the least fun songs of all time. It's a good song, but it's definitely not first date material. I will put it that way. But some heroic person on Broadway is like, nope, we're going to salvage this for a paying audience. So shouts out to them for making that work. Shouts out to Sufjan for this tremendous achievement. Because I think if you're a musician, that is actually the apex. That is the true Hall of Fame, the sign that you have won the game of the music business. Because your songs are so good and so popular that people are willing to pay money to hear them performed as covers through the medium of musical theater, the most annoying of all art forms. So congratulations, Sufjan. You have officially been ABBA'd. You will join the musical theater pantheon of ABBA, along with Green Day, Alanis Morissette, The Four Seasons, The Million Dollar Quartet. And I just have to sidebar here really fast. So I was doing research for this bit, and yeah, I do research for this. How sad is that? I was looking at a list of musicals that are based on pop music, you know, because I want to actually know what I'm talking about, like a weirdo. And I stumbled upon this musical called Cyrano de Bergerac, which I'm going to hit you with this premise. It's a retelling of the play, 19th century play called Cyrano de Bergerac, which is about an ugly piece of shit with a long nose who has a crush on this girl, Roxanne, not to be confused with the police's Roxanne, but this Roxanne, she has a crush on some hunky dude named Christian, who's a moron. And so Cyrano decides to wingman Christian, but actually woo Roxanne himself, sneaky, sneaky, which, you know, I personally feel like there are better, more direct ways to go about that situation, Cyrano, but I suppose that would ruin the plot. Anyway, Cyrano de Bergerac is jukebox musical, contemporary adaptation of Cyrano, and it is actually set in an actual burger shack. I don't know if you could tell that from the title. Cyrano is a line cook. It has songs by Carly Rae Jepsen. It has songs by Smash Mouth. Need I say more? I will say this more. Right here, right now. I know I already made one ultimatum on this show. I'm making another one right now because I'm feeling saucy. With God as my witness, with podcast God before me, I will unretire from theater. I will pull a Michael Jordan if the universe can give me the means and the budget to produce this specific show. Fuck Shakespeare. I want to do Cyrano de Bergerac. Because, and I know I literally just got done shit-talking musicals, but guys, come on. That's like everything I'm about rolled into one. Pretentious plays, hamburgers, Carly Rae Jepsen, those are like all of my favorite things. I guess what I'm saying is I have a new dream, which is really exciting for me because I've been forgetting about my dreams because I've been playing a shitload of Cyberpunk 2077 lately. And that is the bridge to which we will go into our new trio of tracks. This upcoming theme is songs that would not feel out of place in the game Cyberpunk 2077. Leading us up is going to be new up-and-coming band Fat Dog, not to be confused with the Nickelodeon classic Cat Dog, and their single All the Same.
Fucking
Welcome back, gonks. I am your greatest choom, Corbin David Alba, bringing you some jams in the key of Cyberpunk 2077. I was just now practicing some of my Night City slang that they use in the show, so that's a thing that you know now. Gonk means idiot. Choom means friend. You've learned two new words today, and I'm also telling you this so none of you think I was using some new slur, because I would never say slurs on air. Or in real life. Thank you very much, Chico. I think everyone knew that. That was implied. And, oh yeah, Chico's been here this entire time, guys. He's been busy playing his role in Cyberpunk 2077. He's really getting into it. He just finished his tutorial mission. He's really getting into it. But he's here. I did apologize for calling him a bitch on our last episode, even though I was telling the truth. Oh my god, that was a joke. Calm down. Jesus. Rubber chickens, man. Oh, come on. You're not... Oh, don't do this again. It's not... Chico, you're literally just about to meet Keanu Reeves. You're gonna meet Keanu Reeves, and you're walking away. You're walking away. Okay, cool. Yeah, your point is made. Point is made. You know who wasn't this overdramatic? Rico. Just saying. Sorry, I was getting off track. Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah, I've been dedicating an amount of my free time to playing it these past couple months. It's very fun. Any game where I can blow people up with my brain is probably a good game. And the fact that you got like chain smoking Keanu Reeves as your Tyler Durden type, that's like icing on the cake. It's basically if The Witcher and Grand Theft Auto did a fusion dance in the middle of a Philip Dick novel. So picture this, if you haven't played, picture this. It's the future. You're a freelance mercenary. Corporations run everything. Crime and business and government are synonymous. The police are corrupt. Everyone's got microchips and software in their brains. So we're living in Elon Musk is a man in the high castle type dystopia world. A lot of sci-fi, a little bit of satire, not like Fallout level, but you know, some laughs here and again. There's a bunch of great bands on the soundtrack too. Like they got a whole bunch of radio stations that you can listen to in the game, and they got real bands such as Run the Jewels, Health, The Armed have a great batshit track on there that you should listen to. So it checks a lot of Corbin boxes. Those tracks that you just heard earlier, those are songs that are not on the soundtrack. They just fit the vibe that the game carries, and I wanted to share them with you. It also gives me an excuse to play some of my favorite Mortal Kombat 90s movie soundtrack core, which is a core me subgenre. So the first track that you heard of, that was Fat Dog. They're a new, exciting, buzzy band from the UK. That song was called All the Same. They just got done playing a few songs at that whole South by Southwest business in Tejas and have gotten some good buzz. They just got a couple songs out at the moment. No EP, no album yet, but those two songs are killer. If you got 7 minutes to kill, give or take, check out their song King of the Slugs, which is a majestic and terrifying journey. Expecting some great things from them in the future. So that's Fat Dog, not to be confused with Cat Dog. You guys do remember Cat Dog, right? How did they shit? Anyway, next song was Chicago's Pixel Grip, and that was their hot off the press new single, Bet You Do. They are on tour at the moment with the band Health, who is actually on the Cyberpunk soundtrack, and they have a new album in the chute soon. And finally, our third track was The Heart. That's the name of the song. An industrial electronic monologue marathon from hell brought to you by Lip Critic, who have also been putting out some pretty interesting singles this year and are probably cooking up something good for later this year. So we're going to wrap up this show with some sappy sentimental stuff. But before we do that, I will ask politely and as always, that you take a bit of time out of your day to support your friendly neighborhood podcaster and all of his fabulous friends. Follow me on Instagram at Corbin versus the World, as well as our parent station at Hey Loudspeaker for our station, loudspeaker.org. We have also launched a shiny new app for Loudspeaker, our wonderful station and radio, which I'm very excited about. You can listen to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different channels, different vibes, all of which filled with killer tunes, as well as thought-provoking podcasts such as this one. Not to mention, just going to say, Loudspeaker 1, that particular channel is curated by me, your hero, Corbin David Albaugh. So you will find some of this show's featured artists, as well as others that are sure to rev your engine on that particular stream. We will also accept and encourage donations. Just thought I'd mention that as well. No pressure whatsoever. So we'll shift into sappy sentimental time. I got a little bit of bummer news earlier this week. Matthew Urango, who recorded under the name Cola Boy, with two Y's in the boy, passed away last week, and it is a pretty tremendous loss for the music world and the people world in general. He suffered from a number of physical disabilities, including spina bifida, but that did not stop him from putting out some of the happiest, most interesting music I have heard in a very long time. I discovered him through a buddy who sent me his album Prosthetic Boombox, which immediately blew me away. And I'm going to play you that opening track on that album so you can have that same experience that I did if you are hearing him for the first time, as a little bit of a tribute and a celebration to his life and to his contributions to the musical world. I will also shout out, before we move on with that, I will also shout out his collaboration with the Avalanches on the song We Go On from their album We Will Always Love You, which, in my humble opinion, is the best song on the album. And I strongly recommend you listen to that as your post-show homework. And you always do your homework. I know you do. And I appreciate you for that. But first, we're going to pay our respects to a fallen soldier in the War of Life. This song is Don't Forget Your Neighborhood by Cola Boy. And that will be our closing track to this edition of Corbin versus the World. I am your hero, Corbin David Albaugh. I hope you enjoy, and I will talk to you again soon. Appreciate ya.
There's a time in life, yeah, where we're searching for answers. I'll be asking myself about a getaway plan. Take a jet plane. Should I learn to drive? Yeah. Will I make it if I walk there? Will I make it if I walk there? Don't forget me. Don't forget. Don't forget your neighborhood. Don't forget me. Don't forget. Don't forget.
Welcome to Musical Theater Casting, where your character trait is what you wear. I am Pink Shoe Girl number 3 in the ensemble. This will be my breakout moment.
Tony, do you know this shit? Yo, I thought they fucking spent the... I thought Exxon spent the money on the fucking dinosaur statues. I thought that's what my gas was paying for. I thought I was buying more dinosaurs, bro.
This has been a listener-supported production of Loudspeaker Studios. For more on this and other programs, visit loudspeaker.org.